lesson for this morning. My identity and my calling. My identity and my calling. And the text scripture is going to be coming from St. John chapter number 15, 16 through 17. St. John 15, chapter number 15, verses number 16 through 17. It says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Now, in this particular passage, you have 2 points that Jesus brings out. Jesus says he chose you, and also Jesus ordained you. Jesus chose you and Jesus ordained you. And you ask yourself, why? Why did Jesus choose me? Why did Jesus ordain me? He says, and the expectation is to bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should do what? Remain. That your fruit should remain. Now, with this calling or with this selection, we realize that there are 2 choices that the individual has. And that's highlighted in John chapter number 6, verses number 70 through 71. In John 6, 70 through 71, this is where Jesus called the 12. He said, "Jesus answered them and says, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, when people a lot of times look at that particular passage of scripture, it would appear that Jesus made a mistake, because it says he chose 12 and it says one of them was a devil. And why would someone choose a devil, especially if they're trying to get something to work right? Why would you choose someone that's going to mess up the program? But that's not the case. The Lord already told you in John 15:16, he says, "I've chosen you and I've ordained you." And the expectation was that you bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should do what? Remain. But it is also a matter of a choice. It is also a matter of a choice. We are not robots. We have a will. We have the ability to choose what we want. And Jesus does his part, but he says you have to do yours. He did his part, was the what? The choosing us and ordaining us. But the part that we must do is bring forth the fruit and make sure that our fruit remains. In other words, grow and maintain growth. Maintain growth. Now, here, as we said there, Judas, according to the scripture, chose to be a devil. According to how John describes it, Judas chose to be a devil. How did he choose to be a devil? Because the scripture says he betrayed Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. And that's the last thing that we want to do, is betray the Lord Jesus, because he's the one that called us. Now, I found it really unique when I was preparing this lesson, that how similar each one of those that Jesus chose, how you could really find it in the beginning of the letters. The apostles or the writers of the books started off by letting the people know that they understood clearly who they are. That they understood clearly who they are. Now, each one of you get one of those scriptures there under the examples, starting with John the Baptist. Well, we got a lot of scriptures, though.
John 1:17 says, "He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the book.
Yes. All right, so John the Baptist understood who he is, right? John the Baptist did not struggle with his identity. He says, I am the voice of one doing what? Crying in the wilderness, right? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That let me know he knew his calling. He knew his identity. I was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And let's see how Paul identifies himself, who has 1 Timothy 1:1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ.
So we see Paul. All right. So we see Paul also knew who he was. He identified himself. He says, I'm what? An apostle. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's right. He identified who he was. He identified who he was. Philippians 1 and 1. All right. Now, so you notice there, Paul first. Now, in your notes, you should have first he identified himself as an apostle. The second time, he identified himself as a what? As a servant. He identified himself as a servant. Now, go over to Romans 1 and 1 and see what that says.
Romans 1 and 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God.
All right, so we see again, he identified himself as a what? A servant. A servant. He identified himself as a servant, as an apostle, and then he says, I am one that have been separated. You see that? Unto the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the gospel of God. In 1 and 16, you all know the very famous one. He says that he wasn't ashamed of that gospel. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. So he understood his calling. He understood his identity. All right? All right, the next one, Galatians 1 and 1.
Galatians 1 and 1 reads, all an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead.
Right, so you see that? He said he was called to be what? An apostle. What else?
Not of men.
You see that? No man chose him to do this. This is why we said that this lesson is understanding who you are. Understanding who you are. Jesus chose you. Jesus chose Paul, according to this scripture, to be a what? An apostle. And he said, man didn't call him to do this. The Lord called him. The Lord called him. The Lord called him. All right, Philemon, chapter number 1, verse number 1. All right. See, y'all see all of these identities? See, that brother knew who he was. He understood clearly who he was. He says first he was an apostle, then he was a servant, then he says what? A servant and an apostle. He said one that should bring forth the gospel. He was separated to bring forth the gospel. He said man didn't choose him, Jesus chose him. Then also he called himself a prisoner of the Lord, right? Now that these identities, these descriptions are important. A person that struggles to identify themselves struggles with performance. If you don't know who you are, how are you going to be who the Lord expects you to be? All right? Now let's look at the examples of Peter. Peter. Now remember, what did I say? All these letters, if you notice, the identity is highlighted in the beginning of the letter. Before they even disclose anything else, they had to first identify who they are. Right? Nobody can tell you anything from the Lord if they don't know who they are. A lot of times we be listening to people. They be telling us all this about Jesus, and they don't even know who they are. They haven't even identified themselves. You ain't even in a position to tell me who Jesus is, because you haven't even identified yourself. You know who you are, then we can talk. And if you listen to them and they can't tell you, first of all, have you been born again? No. Well, you are a sinner. You are someone up under the control of sin. And you don't know who Jesus is until you know him in the pardoning of your sin. Meaning the forgiving of your sin. How are you going to talk about Jesus and Jesus ain't even forgave you of your sin yet? You still got sin on you, right? Yeah. Only one you can tell me about is the devil. Because that's who you belong to. You don't belong to Jesus. You don't belong to Jesus. All right. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 1.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers.
Yes.
Throughout Pontus.
Yes.
Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia.
Peter knew who he was. Peter called himself what? An apostle. Right? Chapter number, the second book, in verse number 1. The second book, 2 Peter 1 and 1.
Simon Peter's servant.
You see, here you go again. He said, I'm an apostle. Then he said, I'm a servant. You see that? An apostle and a servant. Identified. He knew his calling. He knew his identity. All right? And now we go over to James. James chapter number 1. Yes.
Of the Lord Jesus
Christ. Right.
The 12 tribes which are scattered abroad
read. Right. So who did James call himself? He called himself a servant. You see that? Identity. They identified who they are. John. Chapter number 3 John 1 and 1. 3 John 1 and 1.
Well-beloved.
Right.
Gallish. Whom I
love
in the truth.
So he identified himself as a what? As an elder.
Right?
Right? He identified himself as an elder. Go over to Revelation chapter number 1 and 1, and then someone get 1 and 9.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he by his angel unto his servant John.
So who was John? A servant. John understood he was a servant. Called himself an elder in one of those books, but it lets you know that didn't stop him from being a servant. The other ones identified themselves as apostles, but it didn't stop them from being a servant. And the same thing is here. John says, I'm the elder, but I'm still a what? A servant, right? John, Revelation 1 and 9.
I, John, who also am your brother.
Yeah, what did he? How did he identify himself? As a brother. Right? Isn't that something? You can be an elder in the church, an apostle in the church, a servant in the church, a prisoner in the church, but at the end of the day, all you are is a brother, right? That's all I am, is your brother, right? When I'm your brother, you are my sisters. If you're a female, you're my sisters. If you're a male, you are my brother. All right? Is that all of it?
And companion.
Yes, that's right. We go through together. Everybody understand that? We go through together. When I'm working, you work. When I cry, you cry. When I rejoice, you rejoice. We go through together, saints. All right, that would have sort of said, and your companion in tribulation, right? Keep going.
And in the kingdom,
yes.
And patience of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Was in the isle that is called Patmos.
Patmos.
Was the word of God.
Yes.
And for the testimony of Jesus.
That's right. That's right. So as saints, we see this was something that was very important to Jesus by those that he selected to work for him. They had to first be able to clearly identify who they are.
Right.
They had to clearly identify who they are. Go back over to your text scripture. And realize Jesus chose you. Realize Jesus ordained you. And the expectation is that you bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should do what? Remain. Now it's up to the individual to accept who you are. Accept your identity, accept your calling. As you notice, that's something that the devil plays on people's minds today. You look around, you see people first struggling with who the Lord created them to be.
Yes.
Now, you didn't ask to be whether a male or a female. Jesus chose that.
Right.
But you realize and people struggle with that, even from as infancy. They see automatically a little boy playing with a baby doll. They automatically assume that he's going to be gay. He's going to be gay. And first of all, he don't know what he's doing.
That's right.
It's just
right.
A baby dog.
That's right. That's
baby dog got hair. He see mama comb hair. He going to comb hair.
Right.
just like his mother. But men, we run around, we snatch the doll. Get that doll out of my hand. I don't want my child to be gay. My child's going to be a man. So you go put a hammer in a baby's hand when the baby can't lift up the hammer.
Right.
And you get mad at that baby because he puts the hammer down. Don't want no bother out of that. But he picks up a baby doll that's easy to pick up. It's light. Then all of a sudden, he starts combing on the hair. And then the parents go along with an identity struggle. They say, oh, he likes girl stuff. So I'm going to let him dress up like a girl. I'm going to let him talk like a girl. I'm going to show him how to behave himself like a girl. And then all of a sudden you got someone that doesn't know who they are struggling. They're struggling with their identity. They're struggling with their identity. And the same thing is flipped, or on the flip side, is true for girls. Same thing is true for girls. A girl want to be up under her father. The father wants to do this, father does that, plays football. Does construction, and the girl goes off going to do those same kind of things. And then she dresses like dad, acts like dad, talks like dad, doesn't want her to do any of the things that mom does. And then all of a sudden, the father or the mother realizes that she struggles with identity. And she is, and it becomes a manly in her demeanor, manly in her speech, manly in how she carries herself. And then you be looking at them, you say, well, why does she behave that way? Because she's struggling with her identity. And this is the world that we live in. World that we live in, people don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. I don't care a woman, I don't care how tough and how hard she may seem, she will never be a man. And the same thing is true. I don't care how much a man switch, how much he puts inside of him, how much he tries to accentuate this or that, he will never be a woman. Because that's not who Jesus made you to be. I don't care how hard you try, how many surgeries you have, how many times you practice, you will never be who you're trying to be. You're having an identity struggle. And this is what Jesus is getting across to us here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 9. Paul said a person has to learn how to accept who they are. They need to learn how to accept who they are. Judas struggled with that. Judas struggled with that. Judas tried to let how he was born define him. In other words, you know, you ever understand that? Judas was born a sinner. But Jesus chose him, right? That's what the scripture said. Jesus chose him to be an apostle. And what did he do? He said, I'd rather be a sinner than an apostle. Therefore, he did what? He betrayed Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. And saints got to do the same thing. Saints got to understand, stop identifying yourself with the way you were physically born. Identify yourself with your new birth. With your new birth. Not how you were physically born. How you were physically born, you were born in sin. You were born the wicked. According to the scripture, you were come from your mother's womb speaking lies. You were born a liar. But Jesus said, I'm choosing you. I'm going to give you what? A new birth. You are going to be born again. Not born of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of Jesus Christ. But all because you display a faith in the name of Jesus Christ. You went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or for the removal of sin. You tarried, you waited until you were endued with power from on high, with evidence of speaking in tongues, as Jesus Christ gave the ability to utter speech. Jesus changed your identity. You're no longer a sinner, but you are now a saint. You're no longer a sinner, but you are now a saint. And as bad off as you may seem to be, bad off as you may remember you to be, you might have been a gangster, a murderer, a killer, something horrible. But the Lord says, nah, now that you say, I'm going to make you who I want you to be now. Right? Now notice what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle. Right? That's the truth. Now, many saints go along because of their past. They struggle with this. They struggle with because of who they, exposures that they may have had, experiences that they may have had, things that may have been done to them. They struggle with the identity. But they had to realize it wasn't, had nothing to do with you, your worthiness. Lord called you because he graced it. By grace and mercy, you are saved. Right? That not of yourselves. It is a what? It's a gift. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said, I'm the least of the apostles. He says, I'm not meet, meaning I'm not worthy to be called apostle.
Right.
Why? Because I persecuted the church.
Right.
I did wrong by Jesus.
Right.
I did wrong by the saints. But then he says in verse number 10, contrary to how I lived. Everybody understand this?
Right.
Contrary to how I lived. Contrary to the choices that I made, the grace of God, I am what I am, right? You are who you are because of the grace of Jesus. You are that same. And don't let the devil make you forget that. Don't let the devil make you forget who you are. You are who you are because of the grace of Jesus. Therefore, when the Lord call you to do some work, stop sitting by idle, talking about your past, you know, pondering on what you used to do.
Right.
The Lord said, I saved you.
Right.
I gave you a brand new life now.
Right.
Any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Right.
All right? You gotta understand and accept who you are, saints. You need to understand and accept who you are. Now, is this an easy thing to do? No. Many people struggle with accepting who they are. But it don't devalue the Lord's calling. It doesn't devalue the Lord's calling. And it doesn't say that the Lord's calling is without significance. It is important. It is valuable to your longevity, to your sustainment, to you being able to have a future, a reward. You need to know who you are. Everybody understand this? You gonna be judged by that. Everybody, you as saints, everybody's gonna be judged based on who the Lord called you to be. You don't believe it? That's over there in Revelation chapter number 20 or 21, where it says, but he that is just or unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is what? Holy. Let him be holy still. The Lord says, behold, I come quickly, and my what? Reward. Now, what in the world is the Lord going to reward me on? He's going to reward you on your identity and your calling. Your identity and your calling. He said, I chose you to do something. Did you do what I chose you to do? Say, remember, I chose you, I ordained you for what reason? That you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, right? Huh? Now notice, if we took Judas and put him in that scenario, in that equation, Jesus did his part. He chose Judas and he ordained Judas. But what kind of fruit did Judas bring forth? Fruit of wickedness, of unrighteousness. His whole chief aim was how to make a dollar and how to make that dollar sustain itself. He said that was the fruit that Judas chose. Remember, Judas was no different than the rich young ruler. When Jesus told the rich young ruler, give away everything that you have and that you'll have treasures in heaven. And that rich young ruler went away sad. Said, I can't do that. You know, that's a whole lot of giving. Well, yeah, that's what it's called, a sacrifice.
Right.
It's called a sacrifice. You got to be willing to do what? Give.
Right.
You got to be willing to give. Let go of it, right? The Lord gave it to you. Let go of it.
Right.
Give it unto Jesus, right? Judas didn't want to do that.
No.
When the woman came with them expensive spices, said, well, Lord, we should have used that for the poor to do this. And Jesus said, don't you realize she's chosen a good thing to anoint me? The poor you're going to have with you always. But you ain't going to have Jesus with you always. Seemed like they should have done good by Jesus. As long as Jesus was on the earth and they realized how important the presence of the Lord was. Because when Jesus got lifted up off the earth, look at the disciples. Look at what they were doing. They were standing up there looking. looking how horrible they missed the opportunity. Here it is, one they valued, one that they cared for, one that they, you know, reverenced his presence. Now he was being what? Taken away from them. And that's why it took the Lord sending out a message to say, ye men of the Galilee, why stand you gazing in the air? Go back and do what Jesus told you to do. He told you to go in that upper room and wait until you be endued with power from on high. Now they saw the power going up, but when they were given the instruction to go and wait, the scripture said they went back to Jerusalem with great joy and stayed in that upper room in prayer and in supplication. Why? Because they realized what was taken away from them, and they knew they didn't want to let it go. That's the truth, saints. That's why I feel sorry for a person that backslides, because they don't really realize who they had on the inside. They just let Jesus go as though Jesus is unimportant, like he don't mean anything. And because they have an identity crisis, they want you to have one. They don't want you to realize who you are. They don't want you to realize the choices that they made. As a saint, you shouldn't be like this man with this picture. You shouldn't be trying to figure out what kind of face you're going to put on. You should know the Lord called you to be holy.
Right.
All day long. Not some days. There's only one option, right? And it's a holy face, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's a holy face. I need to be who the Lord called me to be.
Right.
All day long. Good time, bad time, time of want, time of plenty. I need to be who Jesus called me to be.
Right.
All right. Now let's see those that struggle. Somebody got Jeremiah chapter number 1, 4 through 7.
Then the word of the Lord came unto me and said, before I informed you, thee in the belly,
yep.
I know thee.
So who knew you?
Jesus.
So you can go around talking about the stuff you went through as a child. All the horrible things, how people didn't do you right. The Lord says, I called you before you were formed in the belly. All of that stuff was made, was designed to make you who you are. Y'all understand that? All of that stuff you went through, as bad as it was. So someone can say, you don't understand me, Elder Scudder. I was raped. I was molested. The Lord allowed all of these things to happen to you. For you to know who you were.
Right.
Huh? Well, Elder Scudder, how could you say something horrible like that? How could you say the Lord let rape happen to me and molestation happen to me? Well, think about, don't you think somebody that's been raped need to be saved?
Right.
Don't you think somebody molested need to be saved?
Right.
And don't you realize you could have done so many things with that experience?
Yeah.
You could have committed suicide.
Right.
You could have been a murderer.
Right.
But you chose not to go down that path.
Right.
And you chose to let the Lord save you.
Right.
Now, who better to tell somebody that went through all of those horrors that Jesus can save you?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
I can't tell it.
No.
I can't have that witness because I ain't never been raped. I never been molested that I know of. I pray the Lord ain't no let nobody molest me. But as far as I know, I never these things never happened to me.
Right.
But for those that this thing have happened to, you can talk to somebody
right.
that has gone through that thing
right.
and help them to see Jesus can save you.
Right.
Remember, by the grace of Jesus,
right.
you can be who the Lord called you to be.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Does that make sense, saints?
Yes.
That's it, that's it, that's it. So Lord says, I called you from the womb, right?
Right.
I chose you from the womb, right? Keep going.
And before those commands, out of the womb, I sanctified
you. Yeah, what did the Lord do?
He sanctified
you. So that's why that person that has been the rape victim can still function, can still move. Person that has been molested can still function. They can still move because they don't have to be identified as the victim.
Right.
Right?
Right?
You don't have to be identified as the victim. Person that did that crime is the one.
Right.
He's the one that's going to have to stand before Jesus
right.
and give an account for the things they did in their body.
Right.
Right?
Right?
Everybody understand that? You don't have to identify yourself with that. You say, well, someone stole from me. Well, don't you go steal from them.
Right.
That's right. The Lord said, don't give an eye for the eye. Don't do that. Don't let the vengeance be of the Lord.
Right.
The Lord said, I will do what? Recompense.
Right.
Don't go back and forward with people, right? If somebody do you wrong, let them stand in the wrong circle by themselves.
Right.
You stay in the right circle.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You stay in the circle that belong to Jesus.
Right.
Lord said there's no condemnation to them that are what?
Yes.
So just because they do wrong, don't you go outside your right circle.
Right.
Stay in your right circle so that when judgment comes,
yeah,
you won't be judged.
Right.
But they are going to pay a terrible price.
Right.
They're going to have to give an answer for the things they did in that body, right? That's the true saints. That is the true saints. Lord says, I sanctified you, right? Keep going.
I ordained
a prophet. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? All of you. I don't care what your task is in the church. Do you all realize the Lord called you that? But why? Before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He knew you were going to do that job.
Right.
He ordained you for that.
Right.
According to the scripture.
Right.
Now, before Jeremiah could even talk, the Lord called him what? A prophet.
Right.
Y'all understand that?
Right.
Before he even had lips, the Lord called him a prophet.
Right.
When he was the size of a pinto.
Right.
Huh? He was the size of a pin top in his mother's womb. Lord said, that's going to be my preacher.
Right?
Come on, saints. Y'all ever thought about that? And the same thing can be said about you. Whatever the Lord tasked, the Lord called you to do, he ordained you for that before you were even formed in your mother's womb. Devil been trying to stop you from being who the Lord called you to be. Y'all realize that all the stuff that you went through in life, devil put alcohol in your face. Huh? Put cigarettes in your face. Put all kind of sex in your face. All to stop you from being who Jesus called you to be. Right? Y'all understand that? And he was pushing back hard. Every time you try to step into what the Lord wants you to be, that devil say, oh no, do a little bit more of this sin.
Yeah.
Come on back and do a little bit more of this sin.
Right.
Stay in a little while longer.
Right.
Stay in a little while longer. But then the Lord told that devil to loose you.
Right.
Just like he did Lazarus,
yeah,
at the tomb. He said, loose him and let him go.
Right.
That's why Paul tapped into something that we need to tap into. Said, by the grace of Jesus,
right,
he made me who I am.
Right.
Lord didn't reject me for all of my mistakes,
right,
but he made me who I am.
Right.
And for that I thank him.
Right.
For that I work hard for Jesus, saints.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You can't be no lazy saint when you realize who the Lord made you,
right,
and how much the devil tried to stop you,
right,
from being here. Right?
Right.
How much the devil tried to stop who? You.
Right.
From being right where you are.
Right.
Come on, read a little bit more. What is that? Verse number 6. Ah, Lord God.
Our Lord God,
behold.
Behold, I cannot speak.
Uh-huh.
For I am a child.
Ain't that something? See, that's why the devil be trying to put your shortcomings,
right,
the things that you struggle,
right,
doing. He tries to make that stay in the forefront of your mind. But remember, don't forget who you are.
Right.
The Lord did what he called you. Huh? Now remember, what did Jeremiah say? I can't speak.
Right.
I'm just a child, right? That's what he's saying. And verse number 7 said what?
What the Lord said unto me, say.
Stop talking like that. Huh? Stop talking like that, saints. Say not that I am what? Say not that I am a child, right? Stop calling yourself a rape victim. Stop calling yourself somebody that's been molested. Huh?
Right.
Stop calling yourself a drunk.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Stop calling yourself a drug addict.
Amen.
Stop letting the world dictate your program.
Right.
Now the world says when a person want to come out of alcohol, they got to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And the first thing that they try to get them to do is acknowledge who you are. And every meeting for the rest of your life, you got to stand up in front of people and say the same thing over and over again. I am an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic. I've been clean for 50 years, but I am an alcoholic. Jesus said, not in my program. Not in my program. Jesus said, when I save you, you can stand up and say, I'm a saint. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, right? I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, right? Identify who you are. Stop talking negative about yourself. Say not that you are a child. Jesus formed your lips, right? He's the great articulator. So if anybody can put the words in your mouth, Jesus can do it. Anybody can make your brain work like it need to work, Jesus can do it. He can put all them letters and make them make sense. And you can stand with confidence and say, this is what the word says. Huh? Words say repent, right? You might not have knew what that word meant before you came to Jesus. But now the Lord opened up your understanding. He taught you a new word. He put a new word in your vocabulary. Something that you can go to a sinner that never heard that word. Somebody that think they got to go to hell. Jesus gave you a message to tell them you don't have to go to hell. All you got to do is repent. Turn from your wicked ways, right? Stop living like that, right? Huh? Repent. Stop living like that. Come on, what's the rest of it say? I'm a child.
Hello?
Oh, that's just, and do y'all understand that? Who do you need to go to? Everybody. Everybody that the Lord send you to. Huh? Don't judge them. Don't judge them. Take the judging eyes off. And when the Lord send them to you, talk to them about the goodness of Jesus. Tell them they need to be saved. Huh? The Lord put the word in your mouth, right? What the scripture says, go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I do what? That's why you got to move yourself out the way. You need to hear from the Lord. That you can't hear from the Lord if you are in the way. If you are in the way, if you're struggling with who you are, if you're struggling with your identity, if you're struggling with your calling, the Lord can't speak to you. He can't speak to you. Why would the Lord let me have the word that belongs for the saints if I'm struggling with my identity?
Right.
If I don't even know who I am, why would the Lord talk to me? Mm-hmm. Lord going to say, I ain't going to give you no word. You're going to mess up folks.
Right.
You don't even know who you are.
Right.
Some people wonder why the Lord take the word out of them. Mm-hmm. You know people that the Lord have called to be preachers teachers or deacons or missionaries. It's amazing how the Lord has snatched that word out of them. All because they have an identity problem.
Right.
All because they don't know who they are. They don't want to be sanctified no more. And the Lord say, all right, go on and be who you want to be. Then they go reaching. Well, the word of God says, and the person that they're talking to looking at them, ain't no way in the world you're going to tell me what the word of God says. You look like I look. You talk like I talk.
Right.
You act like I act.
Right.
How you going to know what the word of God says?
Right.
Huh? Well, I've been in the church. Oh, man, you lost that. You lost that anointing. Huh? You lost that anointing. The Lord don't even speak to you no more. Huh? And even when he do speak, you can't hear him. You can't hear the Lord when he speak. Because if you heard the Lord, he would have told you something you ain't telling me to do. Which is what? Repent. That's what the Lord would have been telling you. And if he's telling you to repent, he ain't going to wake you up in the middle of the night to call me and tell me what the Lord say.
Right.
And you just as much as a sinner as the next fella.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Well, the Lord put it on my heart. Well, the Lord ain't put repentance on your heart first.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Seemed like he should have put that there first.
Right.
Why would he let you go to hell?
Right.
Huh? You too busy trying to tell me to get out of it. And you ain't not of it yourself.
Right.
You ain't even on the right path.
Right.
Yet you say the Lord told me to tell you this, right? All right. Come on, Moses. Exodus 4, 1 and verse number 10.
And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me.
Uh-huh.
Hearken unto my voice.
Uh-huh.
For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
Now the message is still the same. The Lord told Jeremiah, don't say that. Right?
Yeah.
Now Exodus reveals when Moses proceeds or gives the same objections. He raises the same areas of concern. And again, this is how people talk when they have an identity problem. You know what the caption is over the top of that section in your lesson? It says they're struggling with accepting who they are called to be. They're struggling with accepting who they're called to be. And when you hear a person when a person is struggling who they are, struggling to accept who they are called to be, this is how they begin to talk. Jeremiah said, I'm but a child. I can't speak. Moses is saying, they're not going to listen to me.
Right?
And verse number 10 says what?
And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent.
Now that let me know he's struggling to accept the calling.
Right.
Huh? Don't you realize the Lord know who you are?
Right.
Lord know what you've gone through.
Right.
Therefore, if he called you, he meant to do just what he doing.
Right.
Lord know stuff that we don't know.
Right.
He understands things that we don't understand.
Right.
And we just got to do what? Accept it.
Right.
Be who the Lord called you to be, right? Huh? That's the truth. Now, the next one is John chapter number 4 and verse number 9, and that's a Samaritan woman.
Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?
Right. How does she see herself?
Samaria.
Oh.
For the Jews have no dealings.
Right. How does she see herself? Just as a Samaritan woman.
Right.
A woman that was what? Rejected.
Right.
A woman that was not a part. Now if the Lord honored that tradition, he would have never spoke to her.
Right.
But you realize the Lord is a tradition breaker. He goes against the expectations of the world. The expectation of the world is that the Jews don't have nothing to do with the Samaritan.
Right.
But the Lord spoke to her first. Everybody understand that?
Right.
She didn't speak to Jesus first. Jesus spoke to her first and told her to do what? Give me drink.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew who she was, but he broke tradition, right?
Yeah,
he broke tradition. Jesus, a Jew. She was a Samaritan. Who spoke first? The Jew. That's why the Lord said, come now, let us do what? Reason together, right? Saith the Lord. So the Lord called you as you being a horrible, wicked sinner. Obviously, the Lord got work for you to do, right? Huh? Who am I to question his calling?
Right.
And who are you to question the calling?
Right.
Right? Right? You know how bad I was and how bad I am. Lord don't know it. Well, yeah, he do know it.
Yeah.
And therefore, he called you in your bad self, right?
Right?
Now, come on and be who Jesus called you to be, right?
Right.
That's right. See what she said out of her mouth? The Jews have no dealings with the what? The Samaritan.
Yeah.
But the Lord called her, right?
Right.
Started talking to her.
Right.
Started talking to her. So we got to really overcome that struggle with accepting who we are, saints. As we said, identify who you need to be. As we on the back of the lesson, you see there's a long list. Now, there's a category for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody understand?
Mm-hmm.
There's a category for everybody. Everybody need to understand when they look in the mirror that they line up with the Lord's expectation. The Lord said, I have chosen you, I have ordained you, that you should bring forth what? Fruit, and that your fruit should do what? Remain.
Amen.
Now, whatever the fruit is for anything that you are subject to do, you better make sure you're working hard to do it, all right? Because that's what you're going to be what? Judged on. Everybody understand that? That's what you're going to be judged on. Now, you say, well, Elder Scott, I don't see my name on the list, but then you're non-existent. You're really not here. You're a figment of my imagination. Everybody understand?
Right.
Huh? You say, Elder Scott, I don't see my name on the list, but then you're really not here. You are a figment of my imagination. And when I wake up, you will be gone.
Thank you.
Because you saying I ain't on the list. Now notice I didn't put liar on the list. I didn't put unbeliever on the list. I didn't put sorcerer on the list. I didn't put gambler on the list. Huh? Because that's not who Jesus wants you to be. Huh? And the church ain't for you if that's who you want to be. Church is not for you if that's who you want to be. All right.
Yeah.
Now on the bottom, we have down there the expectations. Now each one of those that you all can go through and you can pull out what the expectation is from Jesus for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, those that are in the church, Jesus expects something from us. Jesus expects something from us. The Ephesians want to say that you're called to be holy. You are called to be holy. Before the foundations of the world, he chose us that we should be holy. Isaiah 44 and 8 all say the same thing, that you are supposed to be the Lord's witness. That you are supposed to be the Lord's witness. John 10, I believe in 27, that's where the Lord lets them know that you are my sheep. You are my sheep. That's the same thing with John 21:15-17. We are the Lord's sheep, or we are the Lord's lambs, depending on our level of maturity. We are the Lord's sheep, or we are the Lord's lamb. John 1:11-12, Jesus calls us his sons. We are the sons of God, right? That we are the sons of God. He came into his world own received him not, but as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. All right? In John chapter number 15:5, the Lord calls us his branches. He says, I'm the vine, but you are the branches. So the Lord's expectation is that we be who he called us to be. John chapter number 15:8. I believe where the Lord called us his friends. You are my friends. You are my friends. I believe. Is that right?
That's 15:8.
Mm-hmm.
Herein is my Father's blessed faith. You bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples.
You're my disciples. That's 8. 8 is my disciples. You are my disciples or my followers. Verse number 14, Jesus says, you are my friends. Mm-hmm. Verse number 14, right? Jesus said, you are my friends. Matthew 5:13-14, Jesus calls us the salt and also the light. You are the salt of the earth. You are a light. You are a light. You are a light. No matter how big your city may be, you realize the Lord gave us several examples of that in the world that we live in. You have big cities and you have small cities. Some towns you go in, you go to one light, go to the next traffic light, you out of that town. Somebody say, wow, that's a small town. We live in one up here off of 69th Street. You go up there by 69th Street, you go into three different towns in a matter of 1 minute. Soon as you cross over to go out of Philadelphia, you go into Delaware County, the first light, you in one town. The next light, you in another town. The next light, you in Upper Darby. That's three towns, three different lights. And all three got their own police department. y'all understand that? You go in one, once they get to the one light, they turn around and go back. So all day long, the police officers, they go from one light to the next. So no matter how big your city is, the Lord told you, you need to be a light.
Right.
No matter how large our church is, whether it be 1, 2, 5, 20, we still need to let our light do what shine. We need to let our light shine. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 2. The expectation is that the Lord called us to be saints. Lord called us to be saints. Know who you are, saints. Know who you are. Know who you are. I challenge you to make sure, as you said, go into this lesson. Do some more dissecting. Do some more studying. Especially when it comes to you knowing who you are. Concerning the work that the Lord had given you to do. You will be surprised. You'll be surprised. A lot of the things that we may think we're doing, we're not. And we need to make sure we do it before we leave this earth. Because remember, that's what we're going to be judged for. You're not going to be judged on what you think. You're going to be judged on your actual performance.
Right.
The Lord said, I have a calling on your life. I've set what? Expectations for you. All right? Look at the choir. That's something. Oh, a lot of us sing in the choir.
Yeah.
Look at that scripture that's called choir. Choir musicians. That's 1 Chronicles 15:16. And see what that scripture said. It's in the Old Testament. Chapter number 15, verse number 16.
When David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers of instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy.
That, but what were they supposed to be doing?
Lifting
up the voices with what?
Joy.
With joy. So expectation. You a sad choir member, you don't need to be in the choir. Right? Everybody understand that?
Right.
You need to be lifting up the people with what? Joy.
Right.
You should be lifting up the people with joy. You a musician, you shouldn't be a sad musician.
That's right.
Shouldn't be pouting because you got to play. Don't play. Don't play. Don't play. Because the Lord said you're supposed to be lifting up the people with what? With joy. And that's the goal. So that's why I said each one of these sections, they have the scriptures outline the expectation. Go ahead.